From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
And its guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Tranquility Base here, the Eagle has landed.
Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind.
That's one small step for man.
Hello, I am Ian Costello. Welcome to 50 Years and Counting. COIN looks back at the 1969 mission to the moon. As part of our celebration of the event that changed the course of human history, I had a chance to talk to three men about the Apollo 11 mission. We talked about how they remember it, why it was so important, and where the space race goes from here. For this podcast, I sat down for a conversation with Jim Todd. He is the director of space science education at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. Born with a severe hearing impairment, Jim tells me how the Apollo 11 mission gave him the inspiration to follow his dreams and the confidence to hear. Jim Todd with OMSI. What is your official title here?
Director of Space Science Education.
Okay.
And I've been with the museum now for 35 years. And my role here basically to manage the planetarium, but also provide content related to space science in any fashion. And so, of course, Apollo 11 is going to fit right in that category very easily.
Jim, let's talk for a second, if we can. What was life on Earth like before we went to the moon?
Well, that's a good question. 1968, 1969 was a lot of turmoil in America. We had the Vietnam War. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. So there was a lot of turmoil. But we were also in the middle of the Cold War. And within that was the space race. Russia was the first one to send up the Sputnik in 1957. And that started the whole space race, really, from that point on. Then in 1960, they were the first to send the first animal into space, first man into space. And then it went until 1961 and 1962, where the Americans were able to get astronaut into space. In 1961, it was Alan Shepard, but it basically went up and then came back down. And then John Glenn made several orbits around the Earth. So he became the first American to orbit the Earth. And then we had the Mercury program, the Gemini program, and then led into the Apollo. And then John F. Kennedy set a goal in 1962 to send a man to the moon by the end of the decade. Of course, John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and then Nixon was the president, but it was a very challenging time period then.
What is your Apollo 11 story?
Mm-hmm. My Apollo 11 story is easy. I was living in Kearney, Nebraska. I was 8 years old. And I had an uncle that was working for NASA at that time. He was an engineer. And he lived down in California, to the Boeing company. But I had a lot of interest in science. But on July 20th, 1969, my parents fortunately let me stay up late that night, because it happened around 8, 9 o'clock when they turned on the black and white TV, and it was in their bedroom, a small little black and white TV, and I'm mesmerized by it. And Walter Cronkite was on CBS, and I watched the whole thing unfold, right? And I could still visualize watching it with my parents, my sister, and we were watching on a little black and white TV, and then took 9 steps down the ladder, and then made that famous call. And so from there, I really knew what I wanted to do. I had a fascination and a passion for space. And my uncle contributed to it, my parents. My uncle would send me materials. He'd go to every launch of the Apollo. He would send me materials, magazine, first aid cover, name it. And then my parents would encourage me to learn more about it. It's a result of that, right? With all that passion and interest in space science, I couldn't ask for a better job, really. But it's fun to share that experience and that excitement with the public, with the new generation, and all of that. So that was a very special day and special moment at that July 20th of 1969.
Why was it important for us to win the race to the moon?
Why is it important? Well, it was a political move. A lot of motivation, desire to be the first, but also human curiosity. Even in the early days, our ancestors wanted to drive to find new continents, map new continents, be the first to be at this new destination. So it's a drive by human nature to explore. And the moon has always been a fascination. And when it got into the point where technology allowed us to be able to build rockets and to be able to go into space, start with the Sputnik and all of that, there was a strong desire to be the first. We wanted to beat the Russians to be the first on the moon. They already beat us to being the first man, the first animal. When John F. Kennedy set the goal, let's get to the moon by the end of the decade. With this event, this was the breath of fresh air from the turmoil that was going on in America. And so literally that day, the world stopped to watch the landing on the moon.
The political ramifications of winning that race.
It really amplified the Cold War, right? Because there was that challenge. There's always that challenge, in whether it's political or in science, even in sports. There was that challenge to be the best. You see it in the Olympics, the Russians versus the Americans, and then that was the game. Same thing in chess. We have the chess match between the Americans and the Russians. They wanted to be the best. Same thing in science, in space science. The space program really blossomed since the Apollo. It really gave us the confidence that we're able to achieve. Yes, there's been failures along the way, but each failure leads to success. And it made us stronger and stronger.
If you could walk me through a little bit, I asked you a minute ago, and I'm speaking with Jim Todd from OMSI. We talked a little bit about what life was like on Earth before we went to the moon. What has life like been on Earth since we've been to the moon?
I grew up with the space program for the past 60 years, and I remember vividly all the amazing feats, not just to the moon, but going to Mars and sending voyagers to Jupiter and Saturn. All of those things were able to provide us answers. And each time that we have a new venture, it led to more questions, even more desires to find answers. And it won't stop. It definitely have improved our life in many ways, okay? You have to remember that Apollo was a great engineering feat, and the science and the engineering worked hand in hand, led to better understanding how we build things, how we set goals, okay? Built confidence. But personally, with my hearing impairment, it gave me the confidence that I can do it. Okay, set goals for me. And I reflect back on that, right? And that was an inspiration for me to watch a team of scientists and engineers work together. And, you know, that can be applied anywhere, how we work together to set a goal. You saw a team of scientists and engineers in NASA send three men to the moon, but it took a lot of pain and effort to get there. And I say the same thing for myself, being a hearing impairment that I grew up with. And I look back at that, and it gave me the confidence that I can do this, with the support, of course, by my parents. But I was eager to learn more and saw the result. I said, well, why not? And I still feel like I still have that fire from being 8 years old. And that fire had never left me.
Personally, this was a seminal moment.
Oh, very much so.
Is it the most important thing that's happened in your life?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Well, it gave me confidence, yes. My parents encouraging me to do anything that was possible, but I can't think of anything else that really inspired me more than the Apollo. Now, that day, everybody stopped to watch the landing on the moon. The older generation remembered that day. The newer generation are just learning about it. They're fascinated with it. It gave us a model. NASA always, I always strive with NASA being a great model for teamwork, to build something together, to work together and to achieve a goal. Not just the Apollo, but the shuttle, the space station, Voyager, you name it. It's great success, going to Mars. We have some amazing landing on Mars with a crane in the sky to a balloon and all of that. We came up with new ideas, new ways of approaching things.
Why haven't we gone back? Apollo 17?
Yep.
Last time.
Yep.
Last time was in 1972.
And it was a economic decision. Mm-hmm. It was too expensive. But interesting enough, you know, we've gone there, we sent 12 men to the moon. It was supposed to be 20, but we sent 12. And it was supposed to be more beyond 17, 18, 19, 20. But it was an economic decision to stop. It was devastating. You know, oh my God, we're not going to explore space anymore. Well, because we saw it didn't. We kept pursuing orbit beyond the moon. But it's very expensive. Yes, it would be more expensive now than it would be then. Now, because, yes, we have the technology, and it seemed like it would be easier, but it's more expensive because we have a lot of red tape, a lot more red tape. Because back then, it was to be get it done. You know, do whatever it takes to get there. Now, there's a lot of red tape. But there's also the biggest question of all, is it safe to send human to space? Because we're finding more and more that radiation outside of the Earth, that electromagnetic sphere, is quite harmful to humans. Have we really developed the technology to protect humans? Not really. And so it's dangerous, but space is hard. And our bodies are not made to go into space, but there's still that strong desire to explore.
Where do you want the race in space to go?
I have my own opinion about going on to Mars. I think it would be very, very dangerous to go to Mars for humans. Robotics had done very well for us. Okay, we're able to collect data in that fashion. If we send a human to Mars, we have to make sure we do our homework, just like the Apollo. That took years of study and testing and all of that. Why don't we just go back to the moon? Well, we've already seen some countries send their own probe to the moon and analyze the moon. That's a strong possibility, but it's also the shortest distance. You know, it only takes 3 or 4 days to get to the moon, there you are. With Mars, it takes 6 months. But then once you get to Mars, you almost have to wait 2 years to come back, in the way that the alignment works. The robots we have sent so far, the rovers, have really accomplished a lot of things. And some people feel it's cheaper and better to send robots than it is to send humans. But there's still that strong desire for humans to be there and be the first. So should we go to the moon? Sure. What we want to accomplish, well, hopefully it'll be more science than just getting to the moon and back. Okay? Mars, well, Mars is going to be really challenging. I foresee we will get to Mars, but if we do it too fast, then we might regret it, that something will happen. You know, what's the hurry? Okay, well, to be the first. So that's the challenge right there.
What is the most important thing we should all always remember about the Apollo 11 mission?
I always remember that we reached our goal. We reached the goal. We made it to the moon. But what I find inspiring about Apollo 11, they went in the spirit of mankind. It wasn't like the Americans were first. Okay? Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin did perfectly to come in peace for all mankind. Okay? It wasn't just representing America, but it's the human species. Okay? And we achieved our goal, right, for all. We achieved the goal because of the spirit of engineering and science and working as a team, desire, and faith, and to be able to get to the moon safely and back. We lost a few lives along the way, but it was the risks that we took. It actually, in some ways, can be like an antidote to the Cold War. We work with Russia now closely, but in some ways, it relieved some of the tension, not all of it. Whoever thought from the Cold War that we would see today that the Americans are being sent up on the Soyuz, the Americans and the Russians are working together on the space station. And then there are 16 nations now involved with the International Space Station. So in the spirit of cooperation, the space had brought the world together. There's still some challenges, there's still some issues, but I'm very optimistic that the space program will get stronger once we get back to the human exploration on the American side. It's been a long time since the last shuttle mission, which was retired, to the next human exploration. We're getting really close now, and there's a lot of excitement. It's great to see that too.
Thank you so very much. Yeah. This was an inspiring discussion.
Yeah.
And good. I very much appreciate your time.
Okay, I hope it works.
Based on what we're talking about, this is a pretty small project.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.